کبھی میں کل کبھی آتی نہیں ان کے در پر ناجی باز سوال چل
The Al Ansar Bookshop For all your Islamic books, CDs, DVDs and other items You'll find ample parking and security on site. We are situated at 189 West Road, Overport. Telephone number 031-208-1601. The Al Ansar Bookshop.
The Al Ansar Foundation is your community project. Hence, the success of our various programs depends heavily on your contribution. It doesn't matter how much you give. What counts is that we are all united in the support of the Al Ansar Foundation. You can make a contribution today by visiting our studios at 189 West Road, Overport, or depositing into the Zakat account in Habib Overseas Bank, account number 11441003 17, branch code 700026.
Animals, his features, his uncles and aunts. It is stated, obviously we all know this, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was the first man on the surface of the earth, and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was the first Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is our belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is also our belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he stated in the hadith, that I was a Nabi when Adam alayhi wa sallam was in between water and clay. Meaning that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, creation took place even before Hazrat Adam alayhi wa sallam. There was a very interesting debate. It was called, and it is very famous. Unfortunately, it is still in the Urdu language. It is called the Munazara-e-Shahjahanpur. Munazara-e-Shahjahanpur. Obviously, this is a place in India. And there, what transpired, there was going to be a interfaith debate, an interfaith interaction and discussion. And we should not be confused about these days' interfaith discussions. These days, unfortunately, the interfaith discussions are not to be attended, or we should not participate in them. Because these days, the so-called interfaith discussions have some un-Islamic clauses. For example, the clause that all religions are equal. The clause like all religions are truthful. The clause that all religions are leading to salvation. Now, this is completely un-Islamic, because we have to be very clear about this, that Tawheed is Tawheed, and how can we agree that the people on Shirk are on salvation? How can we agree that the people on Kufr are successful? How can we agree that the people who do not believe in Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can we say that they are on salvation or on success? How can we believe that the philosophy of the people who say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not even a Nabi, how can we say that they are also on the same playing field or same level or same platform as us Muslims? Muslims, we have got our own unique set of beliefs, and we believe that ours is the last deen, the last sharia, we have got the last kitab, we have got the last nabi, and we have got the perfect sharia, we have got the complete sharia, and we have got that which is absolutely successful, and there is no compromise that others can equal us. Our beliefs are unique and our actions are special. So there is no such thing as we have to go in for this interfaith discussions and interfaith religious discussions and have the view that no, everybody has got a similar concept or a similar philosophy and all are successful. This is a complete false and batil notion, and it is compromising in nature, and those who participate in it, those Muslims, are apologetic. Even if they are ulama ikram, they are completely apologetic if they participate in such activities. However, there was a munazara, the word meaning debate, in India, in a place called Shahjahanpur. There, the Christians came, the Hindus came, and the Muslims were invited. Now, that is permissible. Why? Because each one came to present the correctness of one's stance and the validity of one's belief and the superiority of one's sharia. So that is permissible, because you are clearly stating that you are on the right and the other person is not on the right, that you are on the haq, you are on truth, and the other person is not on truth, that you are on the haq and the other person is on batil, falsehood. Now, in that case, it is absolutely permissible. The munazara, the debate, was set up, and obviously the Hindus chose their best person, the Christians chose their best person, and the Muslims, they had chosen Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he was excellent in debating polemics, and he was excellent in philosophy, logic, and presenting Islam in a most rational and beautiful manner. One of the conditions of that debate was that no scholar was allowed to quote from one's text, meaning in order to prove the superiority of your philosophy and your beliefs and your deen, that you could not quote from your divine scriptures. Simply speaking, that the Christians were not allowed to quote from the Bible, whilst the Hindus were not allowed to quote from their Vedas or Bhagavad Gita or whatever the divine scriptures they believed in. And the Muslims were not allowed to quote from Quran Kareem or a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So no party was allowed to quote from their divine text, which they believed to be truthful. Every group had to present argumentations which are totally logical, rational, and which are not based upon their divine scriptures. Maulana Qasim Nanavati Rahmatullah Alayhi, at the last moment, he came. People did not expect him to come, and alhamdulillah, it was possible that he came away. When the other groups realized that he has come, and he was very famous in philosophy and logic and rationality, so they came to him, they had utmost respect for him. They had utmost respect for him. And now a discussion arose that who must occupy the podium first, who must speak first, who will be allowed to address the congregation first. Remember that you are not allowed, as per that debate, to quote from your so-called divine scriptures. Now, the elders of their Hindu community and the Christian community came to Maulana Qasim Nanavati Rahmatullah Alayhi, and they said, now who's going to talk first? Maulana Qasim Nanavati Rahmatullah Alayhi said that obviously the Hindus claim that their religion is very, very old. It is ancient. And they claim that their religion is the oldest in India. So, one point is that. Secondly, that the Christians say that they have come before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So naturally, as per logic and rationality, that the Hindus must speak first, followed by the Christians, and then followed by us, the Muslims. Because that is the historical, chronological, date-wise sequence. Now, when they heard this, they could not refute this. And they could not rebuttal this, because this is their own research and their own belief that sequence, the Hindus must talk first, then the Christians, and then the Muslims will talk. But in the back of their mind, they knew that the one who speaks last in such a gathering will be able to refute all the previous speakers. And the one who speaks last will be able to answer all the previous speakers. And the one who speaks last generally will be able to sway the crowd onto his favor. And the one who speaks last, he will have a free hold of the congregation and the gathering, and he will be able to speak in such a manner that he'll convince those who are present. And he knows fully well that there is no one coming after him. So basically, he'll have a field day. So alhamdulillah, after the ad break, I will continue this discussion.
It's been 7 long decades, and Osman Spices remains the name when it comes to herbs and condiments. People who understand traditional recipes and know what good Indian cuisine should taste like. Matured and well-seasoned, that's Osman Spices. Offering a range of blended masalas, beans and lentils, rice, and milkshake syrups. Insist on Osman Spices. There is no substitute for quality.
The recent intense aerial bombardment on Gaza has left scores of people killed and hundreds more injured. The bombings have taken the lives of civilians, including women and children. The blockade of Gaza has also forced more than half of its 1.5 million population to be dependent on humanitarian assistance. The Al Imdad Foundation has been delivering humanitarian and developmental assistance in Palestine through our partners in Gaza and by our offices in Amman, Jordan, for the last 5 years. Donate online by visiting alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing from where I left off about the Munazara in Shahjahanpur, that Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayhi told them that he was going to speak last. And now they are all sitting dumbfounded, they're all worried. But nevertheless, that is when Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayhi told them that, let me get you out of your misery. And he quoted one hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that see, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam was created first but appeared last. So although we are supposed to be talking last, but because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam was created first, we are going to speak first also. Now this was a great relief for them, because they felt that if he speaks first, then they will have a chance to refute him, to rebuttal him, to answer him. So they allowed him to talk. Now this Munazara Shahjahanpur has been printed, it is in Urdu, but it is of a high-level philosophical, academical discourse and discussion and deliberation. Some scholar should translate it, number one. Secondly, a commentary has to be written on what the great Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayh exposed on that day. Because the subsequent speakers, although they thought they'll have a chance to refute, but they in the end realized they had made a mistake by allowing him to talk first, because he proved Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat and the Haqqaniyat and the truthfulness of the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shariat as expounded by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be truth in the best manner. Allama Khalid Mahmood, great scholar who is alive, who has come numerously to South Africa, he has written an exposition, of this Munazara Shahjahanpur. When I contacted him, he told me, because the original book is about 70 pages, he has written a commentary of about 250 pages on it, but unfortunately, at the moment, it is misplaced. He cannot find it in his huge library at the moment. However, concerning how rational and how logical Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayh should think, someone asked him about that, how come we believe Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be created first and he came the last? How can we explain this logically? How can we explain this reasonably? So he gave one example. And what a nice, beautiful, simple example. He said, when you use a compass, then you put a point down, the sharp end down, and then you draw your circle with the lead end, with the pencil end. And when you complete your circle, then you pick up your compass. And what do you see? You see a dot. and the circle that has been completed. So, but originally, when you started making the circle, you put in your compass edge, your sharp edge of the compass you put, that was the first point created in your circle. And that was the first point created when you decided to make your circle. So the first point was the center point. But when you completed your circle, then you picked up your compass and then you saw the first point. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first, like how the center point of the circle was created first, he is like that. But he was visible last, like how when you complete your circle and now you pick up your compass, the first point that you created is the last point visible, to become apparent and to become known. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been explained in this beautiful example that although created first, came last, was made to become visible last. So we are so fortunate that we are from that ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has got the last kitab, Quran Kareem. We have got the last Sharia. We have got the last complete way of life. Now if we just look at the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quickly, we will find before that various Anbiya alayhi salam had various qualities. It is stated about Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, he was the first person to write. And Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam, he was the orator, classified Anbiya alayhi salam. If you talk of a Nabi that is an orator, it is Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam. The title of Ruhullah went to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. The title of Khalilullah went to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. The title of Kalimullah went to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So all previous Anbiya alayhi salam, they had titles. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best title, Khatmun Nabin, the last Nabi, the final Nabi, there'll be no new Nabi after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that his lineage, he was Abul Qasim Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashib bin Abdul Manaf bin Husay bin Filab bin Murra bin Kaab bin Luhay bin Ghalib bin Fitr bin Malik bin Nadr bin Kinaya bin Khuzayma bin Mudrik bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nizar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan bin Ad bin Muqawim bin Nahar bin Tahar bin Yarib bin Yahzjub bin David bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin Tariq. Now there is a scholar, an orator, famous amongst the Tabligh Jamaat, Maulana Tariq Jamil, Damat Barakatuhum. He goes back to narrate and to record, and this he does by sheer memory, over 60 links from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right up to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And this is alhamdulillah a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I listened to one of his speeches where when he went to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave in Madinatul Munawwara, and then when he presented his salam to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he read this long 60 chain lineage right up from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam write to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Then when he came out of the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person came and asked, who is Tariq Jamil? So he said, he is Tariq Jamil. He said, I was in masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just now. I fell asleep there, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in my dream, and I said that go and give Tariq Jamil, give him my salams. So everything about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessed. Everything, his lineage, his names, and his history. His mother was Amina bint Wahab bin Abdul Manaf bin Zuhra. And his birth, as per the historians record, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on Monday, after two nights had passed on the month of Rabiul Awwal, in the year of the elephant. Obviously, we all know of the year of the elephant, when Abraha decided to attack the Kaaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him with small little birds carrying stones. Those birds were never seen before nor after, according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that was the year of the elephant, and this whole incident obviously is recorded in the Surah Alam Tara, and you can check up the commentary there. The passing away of his father and his mother, it is stated that Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib died in Al-Madina when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 2 months old. His mother died when he was 4 years old. And his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, died when he was 8. There are some narrations which are differing. However, that the view that his father passed away, the majority of the scholars state that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father passed away. Scholars are saying that after the death of his mother, one that he died when he was 4, the other states that he died when he was 6. That's why you will notice in certain textbooks concerning his mother's demise, some will say 4, and the others will say that she passed away when he was 6 years old. However, his nursing, Thuiba, the female slave of Abu Lahab, who had just given birth to her son Masrukh, all suckled him. She also suckled Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib and Abu Salama Abdullah bin Abdul Asad al-Mahzumi. Halima bin Duaib al-Sa'ida also suckled him. All this is in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, al-Nasai. Now, in previous discussions on Radio Al-Ansar, I have discussed the names of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and each name we have said many aspects about it. In this session, I will just mention the names without discussing in details. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, I have 5 names. I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad. I am Mahi, through whom Allah will eliminate kufr, disbelief and infidelity. I am Al-Hashir, who will be the first to be resurrected. The people being resurrected after me. And I am also Al-Aqib. There is no Nabi after me. Another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am Muhammad, I am Ahmad, I am Muqaffi, the last in succession. And I am the Nabi of Tawbah. And I am the Nabi of Rahmah. And another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that I am the Nabi of Al-Malhama. It is stated that Al-Malhama means congregation, mercy, also one of jihad. Another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad. I am Hashir, who will be the first to be resurrected. The people being resurrected after me. I am Al-Mahi, through whom Allah Ta'ala will eliminate kufr. On the day of judgment, the banner of Hamd, the banner of praise, will be with me. I will be the leader of the Anbiya and their intercessor. In Quran Kareem, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala talks of various names of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he is Bashira wa Nazira, that he is the bringer of good news and warnings, that he is Raufur Rahim, that he is merciful and full of pity. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He is a mercy to the world. And there are many, many more names of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as researched by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi and Ibn Arabi. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he was orphaned, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came under the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And after the demise of Abdul Muttalib, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came under the care of his paternal uncle Abu Talib, who took the responsibility of caring for and bringing up Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was protected from following the evil ways and customs of the people of pre-Islamic Arabia. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with good character, and he was known amongst the people for his fairness. He was held in high esteem because of his truthfulness, excellence of manners, and his purity. It is stated clearly that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was protected from the evil ways and the customs of the people of the pre-Islamic Arabia. Initially, in his childhood, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should tend the flock, and he was basically a shepherd. Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that there was no Nabi that was not a shepherd, meaning that every Nabi was a shepherd. And those who have claimed Nabuwat falsely, obviously, naturally, obviously, that they can be no Nabi after Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and those who have claimed Nabuwat and Risalat, they were never shepherds. I will continue, inshallah, after the break.
Other news today, Islamic fundamentalists revolted against the kind-hearted gesture of American soldiers offering Easter eggs.
Well, in that case, anyone can be labeled as terrorist, innocent people. And I ask again, is this not an attack on Islam?
An accelerating start to your day. With Shakira Sayed and the team, it's the AM Drive. Monday to Friday, AM Drive.
Hello, boss. My father is late.
Your father is always late. He knows there's customers waiting for him to open the shop.
No. You don't understand. He's gone.
Where is he gone to? Couldn't he go some other time?
No. He expired.
Hey, see now you're covering up your father. How can he expire? There's no parking meters outside our shop.
Don't be late. The Oasis Crescent Equity Fund is already 10 years old. Call Anwar Mullah on 083-65-786-77 and get invested now. Don't worry. Our investments never expire.
You are listening to Shakira.
Busy bees believe in all that they do. Be a busy bee child and enjoy being you on
Busy Bees.
Every Friday at 3:15.
Call Shakira on 01-208-4564.
Buzzing closer to the weekend.
Are you a part of Al Ansar's Jiddaru Sadaqah? Join thousands of others who have made their contribution to this great wall of charity. Radio Al Ansar gives you another opportunity to earn Thawaba Jariyah.
Donate a window campaign. For just 3,000 Rand per window, your name will be sandblasted on a window at the Al Ansar Community and Cultural Center. You can make a once-off payment of 3,000 Rand or 6 payments of 500 Rand each. The Donate a Window campaign.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was commenting on the point that Allah Jalla Majdahu had protected Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from all evil ways and customs of the people of pre-Islamic Arabia. It is our belief that Anbiya Alayhi Salam, that they are innocent, masoom. And this is prior to their declaration of Nabuwat and also after declaring Nabuwat. One common error we make, that we use the word before Nabuwat and after Nabuwat. Actually, this is technically not correct, because before Nabuwat, what the Nabi was doing? Was he a Nabi or was he not a Nabi? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, we say that a Nabi is born a Nabi, so there is no such thing as before Nabuwat and after Nabuwat. Yes, the correct statement and what's supposed to be written is at the age of 40, most of the Anbiya alayhi salam proclaimed Nabuwat, announced Nabuwat. And another belief that we should know, that a Nabi knows that he is a Nabi. A Rasul knows that he is a Rasul. And a Nabi testifies to his own Nabuwat. And a Rasul testifies to his own Risalat. That is why when Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu should call the Azan, then when Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah was being called and proclaimed, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say Ana, Ana. That testification he should state verbally, openly. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two incidents which we clearly know in history. As I stated, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should tend the sheep and the goats in the valleys and the hills of Makkatul Mukarramah. Ulama Ikram write that why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should tend the sheep and the goats, and why Anbiya alayhi salam were given this responsibility of tending the sheep and the goats, was that they learned how to control the goats, how to bring them in order, how to bring them in line, how to coordinate them, how to guard them, how to supervise them, how to tend them, how to move them from one place to another, and how to be alert and not lose any one of them, and worry about their welfare all the time. Because the Nabi, he is going to be the guide of the Ummah, and the Nabi is going to have to be sympathetic and affectionate to his followers. He has to see no one comes out of line, and he has to discipline them, he has to control them, he has to see no one moves away from the group. He has to see that there is order, system, and he has to have their welfare at heart and protect their iman and protect their lives and protect them from being harmed. Just as all the responsibilities of a simple shepherd is upon his flock, there is more responsibilities for the Nabi upon his ummah. Nevertheless, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should tend the sheep 24 hours, meaning one shift, and his friend should do the next. And in this way, they were able to share their responsibility and their workload. There was going to be a festival in Makkah al-Mukarramah, that yearly festival, wherein un-Islamic activities were going to be perpetrated and enacted. Singing, dancing, music, fairy tale, storytelling, poetry recitation, running around the Kaaba, hooting, clapping, dancing, merrymaking, pleasure, all that in that festival and in that activity was going to take place. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his friend that he would like to go there. Now in order to go there, he has to have a day off. So in order to have a day off, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his friend that I will work double shift. I will work double shift, and then that will result in I having a day off, and in that day off I will go to that festival, I will go for that celebration and see what is happening there, participate there. So his friend agreed, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did two shifts and proceeded. Because now his day was off, he had a day off, so he proceeded towards Makkah al-Mukarramah to attend and participate in that celebration, in that festive season. On the way, obviously remember he has done two shifts now. He has done two rounds of working in order to get one day off. On the way he felt tired. And out of fatigue, he rested, he slept away. When he slept away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand and mercy and comfort and ease was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept, and he only got up after the celebrations or the festive season or that festive period of merrymaking, wherein un-Islamic activities were done. All that was over. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept in that entire period. Divine hand of protection upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that no one can point any finger upon the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No blemish upon the personality of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can say anything against beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. The second incident that comes to mind, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the reconstruction of the Kaaba was taking place, then the pattern in those days was to take the loincloth and put the loincloth either on the shoulder or the head. Then take the stone or the rock and put the rock on your shoulder or on the head and carry it. Carry it to the Kaaba where the masons are going to put it in its place. Now if a person has to lift up the loincloth, obviously, the satr of the person is going to get exposed. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Khatamun Nabi. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is bashful, modest, and his satr cannot be exposed. And his satr can never be exposed to the viewing of the kuffar, the mushrikeen. When he decided that he is going to lift up his loincloth, when he just decided that, then there are some narrations. One narration is that he swooned and fell down. So no lifting of the loincloth, that he just swooned and fell down so that no one can see his satr. The other narration is someone pushed him down, and he received a knock on his cheeks, pushing him down, and also the result was that his satr was not exposed. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to protect him. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of 12 years, he and his uncle Abu Talib, they made a journey to Busra, which is a city in northwestern Syria. It was there that a monk by the name of Bahira, he saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recognized him immediately as the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Bahira took him by hand and said, "This is the master of the worlds. This is the master of the Rabb of all that exist. He is sent as a mercy to the worlds." Bahira also asked, "Who told you so?" He replied, "When he came from Al-Aqaba, there was not a tree or rock that did not prostrate itself. Such creatures only prostrate to a prophet, and we find him mentioned in our books." Bahira then instructed Abu Talib to return with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Al-Aqaba, meaning Makkah al-Mukarramah, fear of the Jews might do to him if they found him in Bushra. Now, what we have to worry about here is that there is the narration that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went with his uncle to Bushra for business, on business. And according to his uncle, that they should pass by this priest many times, and he never ever invited them. But on this particular occasion, they found that when they passed him, he called all of them. And he told them, "You have to have meals with me." And he was very generous with them. Inshallah, we will continue after the small ad break.
From a pop star to an acclaimed nasheed artist, Junaid Jamshed continues to enchant and captivate us with his melodious voice.
Woh zamzam yaad aata hai, woh kaaba yaad aata.
And now, join Radio Al Ansar and Junaid Jamshed live as we release his latest album, Badi Uz Zaman. The live performance of this enchanting artist takes place at the special Ibn Masood fundraising dinner taking place on Friday, 27th March at the NMJ Islamic Center, inshallah. Badi Uz Zaman will be available exclusively at the Al Ansar Book Media Center. Call 031-208-1601 for details.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing, I was explaining that when Abu Talib went to Syria, to Busra, he took Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this monk, Bahira, invited them for a meal. And Abu Talib says that this monk, they knew him, and they had passed by him many times. But he never ever had invited them. But on this particular occasion, he invited them. After inviting them, when they were seated, this monk inquired that, "Is there everybody of the caravan in the invitation? Have all of them come?" Abu Talib said, "No. Only his nephew is tending to the camels and the saddles and the luggage." So this priest said, "That is why the invitation has been done. Call him. Because of him, this invitation has been rendered and this meal has been served." So Abu Talib asked, "Why? What is the problem? What has happened?" The person says that he was constantly waiting for this event to take place. And whenever a caravan came from Makkatul Mukarma direction, then he should go onto his rooftop and sit there and monitor the caravan and waiting for the sign. And now the sign has appeared. And what was that sign? That upon this caravan, there was a cloud shading it. And he knew now that this is the messenger in that caravan. There is going to be the messenger, the last one, the Rasul, the last Nabi in the caravan. And this has been recorded in their scriptures that the caravan will come from Al-Aqaba side, from Makkatul Mukarrama side, and this caravan will have the last Nabi, the last Rasul, the Rasul of mercy with them. And he recognized Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from their previous scriptures. That is why he told Abu Talib that you should now postpone your further trip. You should cancel it for this time. Take Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkatul Mukarrama, protect him, safeguard him against the Jews. And because they were expecting a Nabi to come from the progeny of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, and they will not be able to stand that here comes the Nabi and he is from the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, when he grew and he went to Bushra with Maysara. Maysara was the servant of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she employed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Syria with merchandise. Because of his honesty and trustworthiness, she entrusted him with the belongings and the merchandise, and she sent Maysara, her servant, to go and observe the dealings and the behavior and the character of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they returned, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made very good profit. And that whole trip was, from a financial point, very successful. And the report she got from Maysara that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very honest, a noble, extremely good character. When she got all this positive information from Maysara, then she proposed marriage to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha when he was 25 years old. And when he reached the age of 40, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the first wahi in the cave of Hira in Makkah, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi wa sallam appeared to him, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkatul Mukarrama for 13 years. Some say 15, others say 10, but the first view, 13, is correct. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed salah in Makkah, facing Baytul Maqdas in Jerusalem, all the while never turning his back to Al-Kaaba. Rather, it could be in front of him in the direction of Baytul Maqdas. He kept on facing Baytul Maqdas in prayer, in salah, for a period of 16 or 17 months after his arrival in Madinatul Munawwara. So basically, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married when he was 25. And he married Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was elderly, 40 at that time. There's no question that what the Orientalists and the enemies of Islam say, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married because of some other reasons which are not even fit to mention on air. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he at the age of 25 chooses to marry a woman of 40. So there is no blemish on his character, nobility, his piety, his righteousness, and all the useless and futile objections which the enemies of Islam make upon him, they hold no water whatsoever. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should go every now and then to the cave of Hira in Makkatul Mukarramah. He should go there and spend time. And the reason why he chose that cave, it has been proven, as Maulana Professor Muhammad Hamidullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he, a good scholar from Paris, he was settled in Paris, he wrote many books in Arabic and Urdu, in French and English. High caliber scholar, he in one of his books has written that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should sit in the cave, then remember at that time there were no buildings around Kaaba. All these high rise buildings have only come now in the last 20-30 years. There were no high rise buildings around Kaaba. And where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should sit in the cave, then when he looked out of the cave, it formed a triangle. And within this triangle, the Kaaba was. So imagine if you're sitting in the cave, you're looking out of the cave, and your view is coming out in a triangle, and in this triangle, you only see Kaaba. So he is sitting in the cave, looking out, looking directly at the Kaaba, and focused on the Kaaba, the mercies of Allah descending upon the Kaaba, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go there. Why he should go there? To meditate about how to solve the problems of the people of Makkah. What are they doing? Remember, a Nabi never is involved in any sin perpetrated by his community. And he never commits any kufr or shirk or any unsavory activities. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worried and perturbed that how his nation is going to change and reform. And at the age of 40, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam comes and gets him up, tells him to read. He shows him, according to some scholars, a writing, gold writing on a green silk cloth. And after getting Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows him an ikra was written there, and he tells Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously tells him, وَمَا أَنَا بِكَارٍ, that I am not one who reads, meaning that I cannot read. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, he embraces Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and tells him again, read. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again says that he cannot read. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam presses him for the second time and again asks him to read. Again Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he cannot read. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pressed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam for the third time, and then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to read, and then Jibreel alayhi salam reads the first ayat of Surah Ikra. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats it and then comes down the mountain. When he comes down the mountain, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to a place called Ajyad. Now everybody who has been to Makkah to Mukarramah, you have got a fairly good idea where Ajyad is. Ajyad is where that hospital is, where it is called Mustashfa Ajyad, the hospital of Ajyad. It is behind the current king's palace. That area is called Ajiat. There, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam in full glory. According to one narration, seated on a chair, and all 600 wings spread. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was one of the two occasions when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam in this full condition. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the whole horizon was full with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. When he looked down, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Up, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Sideways, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. And he, after that, came to his beloved wife, Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala, anha, saying, Zambiluni, Zambiluni, that cover me up, that obviously what has happened now has shaken Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is perspiring a lot, and he is perturbed and worried, because this is a total different activity that has taken place, and this is something very strange and astonishing. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked his beloved wife to cover him up, and inshallah from here we will try to discuss later on about the migration of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his passing away, and then the various other facets of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these series, I'm not going into too much details, but giving a lot of information about basic information of the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to be with Iman, stay with Iman, live with Iman, die with Iman, and bring daily the life pattern, the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our lives, within our behavior, and how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved and acted, made ibadat, we supposed to be doing likewise, because the whole idea of all these programmings and these bayans and lectures is eventually to encourage us to live the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to live according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to live the pattern which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to become good, pious, righteous Muslims. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ya Habib Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Habib Allah, Ya Rasulullah,
Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habib Allah, Ya Rasulullah. هذا الرسول إذا يبسم ترى الأرض نورا فلا تظلم.